Hello, everyone. Glad you could tune in with us this month as we continue Truth for Your Journey. We try to come to you once a month with someone that we believe has truth that they have experienced in their life that will help you in your journey with Jesus, because that's our mission, is to introduce people to Jesus and to help them follow Him. And so today we are excited to have our discipleship pastor, Chris Andrews, with us. So, Chris, welcome.
Glad to be here, as always.
So some of you may say, well, wait a minute, I thought Chris was the youth pastor. And Chris was our youth pastor for 6 years. He and his wife, Brooke, and did a fantastic job. But there's a reason why he's in as discipleship pastor now, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But God has been doing some very cool things in Chris's life and what's led him to this point. And I just felt like this would be something that would help you as you're trying to determine God's will and God's path and what God has for you and what that looks like. And so, Chris, just tell us a little bit about who you are and your testimony.
So I grew up here in Asheboro and came through, to keep it short. In high school, I was living a double life. I was in youth group, but also, you know, going with the flow of the culture at school, and had a good youth pastor, had family pulling on me. I had Young Life was really key for me in high school to connect my faith with my real life. And so my junior year, I had a, you know, turning point, born again experience, I would call it. And from then on, I would say really that was the beginnings of God calling me into ministry, and had to discern that and navigate that in a setting where not many people in my generation are coming out of a public high school saying, right, I'm going into ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I had to navigate that. One of my friends actually has gone down that same path. Kayla Mason is, you know, has his seminary degree now. So I had to discern that, also going to App State and met Brooke in that process, got an education degree, went into teaching. I really felt led to ministry while I was at App State. I went to this group some that was like pre-seminary students there actually at Appalachian State, and really thought hard about going to seminary. And it just, Brooke did not feel peace about it. And it was actually, you know, some tension in our relationship as far as that path. I remember our premarital counseling, that was like the one issue, was my career and my feeling led to go into ministry. And so, you know, where it fell was that I continued into education and eventually was the part-time youth pastor here at Journey. And Brooke, you know, had a lot of, you know, great skills and calling in that area as well. So that's where it stayed there for the first 6 or 7 years of our marriage. And it just came to a point where when we had Sadie doing the first shift at school and then also second shift doing youth ministry, or, you know, and then also having a daughter, our time, you know, had consumed from both ends. And so it came to that point. And then fortunately, our church was at a point to be able to make a full-time hire. And at that point, Brooke did feel peace on me stepping into this role on a full-time basis. And so as we look back at it, you know, we both believe that that was God's timing of giving Brooke that peace at that time, because I think it's very valuable experience, the 7 years that I had in the public schools, because I'm able to bring a lot of that perspective here with me, and a lot of the work ethic and a lot of the leaders that I was around, and I'm able to bring that into the church setting as we're building up our culture and our infrastructure here.
So how long have you and Brooke been married?
We've been married over 7 years, about 7.5 years.
And what does Brooke do?
She's an elementary teacher. She teaches third grade at Southmont Elementary here just outside of Asheboro.
And as if you weren't busy enough, or thought you had experienced love enough, God has blessed your family with little girl, Sadie. And you guys just got back from a trip to Disney World. How does she like Disney World?
said he was on cloud nine the whole time. And, you know, we have pictures, videos that are priceless. But she was absolutely on cloud nine. Great family time as we went down there with extended family. And she did good on the plane, too. Luckily, it was just over an hour flight. And so priceless experience.
So one of the reasons that I bring that up is a lot of times people equate ministry with neglecting your family, right? Because ministry can be so demanding that we tend to neglect our families or, you know, and one of the things that we try to focus on here at Journey is family first. That, you know, 1 Timothy 3 says, you know, if you don't have your own house in order, how can you lead the house of God? And so one of the things that I think is important for people to understand, whether you're teaching or whether you're in ministry, whatever you're doing, that your occupation cannot replace the commitment to your family, that you need to make sure that you're spending time together with family. And so I think that's something that is important to emphasize and focus on.
Absolutely.
So if you know anything about Chris is a very organized person. He is very detail-oriented, does a great job planning events because he tries to look at every angle. He tries to think of everything that could go wrong. And so I had a conversation with Chris and looked and said, I really think your giftings could be used well for our discipleship pastor to kind of oversee our life groups, our serve teams, and come alongside people and help them, again, in our mission of introducing to Jesus and helping to follow him. So, Chris, just explain in just a minute or so what your responsibilities are at Journey.
I'm over three big buckets of our church. I'm over our life groups, our serve teams, and our Next Steps Growth Track class that we have. And so a big role that I've had, other churches have an operations pastor, and that's a lot of, you know, what I've been doing as well is looking at, you know, we have over 500 people on a given Sunday. We have around 10 serve teams. We have over 20 life groups. So, you know, coming from the school setting, you think about they have the federal government, the state of North Carolina, the school board, the superintendent, the, you know, central office, the administrators, all the way down to the teachers. Here, it's just us, right? So there's a lot of infrastructure that has to be in place for things to run smoothly. And Journey has been knocking it out of the park on Sunday mornings. And there's a lot of other good things that have been happening as well. But what I've seen is, you know, just getting shoring up our processes and our communication has been a big part of what I've been doing, you know, behind the scenes as we've rolled this out. And then also, you know, just trying to empower the people who are in leadership positions that are doing what God has laid on their heart for them to do, because it takes an army. It definitely does.
Is there enough for you to require 40 hours to do this?
More than enough, more than enough. You know, every day, I mean, it's amazing how fast the time goes by during a work day. I mean, I'm just busting it, and then 3:30, I'm here from 7:30 to 3:30 typically, and, you know, I wish I could stay till 5:30, 6:30, you know, then obviously respecting family time as well, but, yeah, a lot to do and to build out, and I enjoy it. It does not feel like a job. This is something I've always done in my free time, and now it truly is a dream come true to be able to do it during the day. And the sky's the limit. We've done some conferences at churches that are ahead of us and you know, bigger than us and have been around more established than us. And I see what they're doing, and I see, you know, like a builder about to build a house. You have the resources there. You have the manpower there. Now you just have to build it. And so I just see ahead what Journey can become. And so it's just, you know, putting your head to the grindstone every day for us to get there. So very exciting things coming up.
So as you have, because you came on full time in August as our discipleship pastor, so you've been doing this, you know, for a few months. Would you agree when we talk about the best is yet to come?
The best is yet to come. That actually was in my mind just the other day. And I may, you know, there's some things I'm going to communicate to the church coming up, and I've actually thought about, you know, how we've said that through the years, and what is ahead right now definitely speaks to that. The best is yet to come.
So if you are part of the Journey family, then you're going to, you've already seen fruits of these processes, but you're going to hear and see even more that we're going to be launching in January. And if you're not part of the Journey family and you don't have a church to go to, we'd love to have you come and be part of this family, because all that we do is for the kingdom. It's not to make Journey the biggest church. It's not to lift up Journey at all. It's all about Jesus. And there's great things that are happening, and the vision that's being cast. I mean, there's just a lot of that. When we say truly the best is yet to come, it truly is. And so we're excited about that. But Chris, one of the things that as you stepped into this role that God kind of just directed you, and I don't think even you understood the magnitude of this, and I just want people in our area to know a little bit about what God is doing through FCA. So just share, you know, for those that don't know what FCA is, what it is, and how that's being rolled out in our community.
Yes, so since the mid-1900s, 40s and 50s, the biggest two public school ministries in the United States have been the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or FCA, and Young Life. And so Young Life is very strong in our community. Well, specifically, they're in Asheboro, have been for a long time. They were in Province Grove briefly. Now they're going into Southwest. So Young Life has a very strong committee, which is like their board, a lot of fundraising. So they're very much thriving. I've seen just a big need for, obviously, ministry in the public schools. Doing youth ministry for a long time is super important, but the kids literally are at school for 40 plus hours a week, more than that if they're playing sports, and then they're at church for a handful of hours, even if they're very involved. So, you know, when you look at the last several decades and the trends of, for example, my generation leaving the church in massive numbers, it has been a major decline. And I think one of the areas where we have missed people, we've missed the boat, is that it's been a, you know, come and see at the church, but we're not helping them navigate the culture that they're in, and where they are is at school most of the time. And still, I think it's over 80% of Christian kids still are in public school. And so, you know, very important. FCA is a very easy campus ministry to have. It has a lot of recognition. Administrators are familiar with it. Parents are familiar with it. Legally, you have a lot of backing to come in and to do ministry. And, you know, you have a huddle before school, 30 or 40 minutes before school. At one of our schools, it's in the media center. One school, it's in the cafeteria. One school, it's in the gym. One school, it's in the health room, right? So somewhere in the school, and at 30 to 40 minutes, and, you know, you have a lot of leeway because it's outside of school hours and it's voluntary for kids to come. And, you know, there's a lot that's been going on in our culture, but here's an opportunity where we, you know, we are allowed to come in and to do ministry here. There's just some basic lines, guidelines for us to follow. And so I just think churches, you know, it's time for us to take the bull by the horns, step up and to go in and to lead our kids. Because if we don't, someone else is going to in a different direction.
And one of the things that I love about it is how many different churches are working together.
Absolutely.
It's not a Journey thing. It's not any church thing. It's the churches coming together to be the church, to Absolutely. Show Jesus in our community.
And to speak to that, you know, this past summer we had a big city, countywide church event, the church at Asheboro, the service that we had. And there's been a lot of energy spinning off of that into what we've done with FCA and what I have done, the need that I saw was somebody to keep a schedule, who is going to speak this week and this week and this week, who is going to bring breakfast and then send out reminders and then have people that are there. So just building out that infrastructure and getting, a lot of hands on deck, the multi-area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is in Greensboro. He's over 12 counties. So we've been able to connect with him and, just be able to build out, this opportunity that's in front of us and bring together all of these other pastors and leaders in our area.
So, Chris, I want you to, as we kind of begin to wrap this up, I want you to think about the person that's in your generation, right, in their young 30s, that what does it look like to follow Jesus? Because a lot of times, again, our mission is to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. But sometimes we kind of it's easy to put things out there, but we don't set an expectation. What does that even look like? So to other people that are listening to this, and whether, you're in your late 20s, early 30s, or whether you're in your 40s or 50s, like some of us currently speaking, or whatever generation, but to be able to look and go, what does it look like? Because there's so many things that are out there that are calling for our time. There's, to get success, to be defined by what you possess, all these different things. And how God has grown you and Brooke and blessed you with Sadie and the other blessings that you have, how would you challenge somebody and what it looks like to follow Jesus?
Here's an angle that I think is very helpful, that is how I progressed in my relationship with Christ. Take the church building out of it. Take the routine of coming to church on Sunday morning out of it. And that is how it was in the early church. So I, really came to Christ through Young Life, and, the person of who Jesus was, the fact that he really did resurrect from the grave, that you can't, historically, you can't refute that. If you've seen or read the book, The Case for Christ, they talk a lot about that. So you take, the words of Jesus seriously, and then he validates the rest of Scripture. So that if that truly is the Word of God, then you can't get past that. From there, it talks a lot about, the body of Christ. And so if we can get past the church as being a building, and you get to, hey, I need a group of friends, I need people around me like they did in the early church to help me in my relationship with Christ. And I'm growing in my relationship with Christ. And then from there, because really when I went to college and I'm deep in Young Life, and then I started realizing, wait a second, this is why they have the church. This is why they have church buildings. This is why they have the routine of meeting together weekly. And I started to understand the why of that. And I think my generation just sees the tradition of it, and there's a lot of rich, tradition and history to get us, to where we are and where we've been with Christian heritage. But my generation sees, hey, you come to church on Sunday morning and you go to the church building. And if you really zone in, Young Life does this so well, you zone in on who Jesus Christ is and was, what he said, and that validates the rest of Scripture. Get into the Word of God. What does that mean and what does that look like? And there's some things that when you look at churches and how church is done that maybe they're a little bit off, but we've got to get back to what it was like in the book of Acts. What is the Great Commission about? And then the point that you will come to is, this is why they have, the institution of a church, and Journey, was founded on the premise that there's got to be more than church than just the mundane and the routine. And so, we're blessed to have a community here that is chasing after God, and we want to continue to, lift up our culture and invest each other and to be authentic. It's easy to just do things, but we can't forget that this is about that Great Commission that Jesus called us to go and to make disciples of all nations. and to start here, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So, hey, we have a big task at hand. As what they talked about in one of our conferences, 2,000 to 3,000 churches in America are closing every year. And so if that is happening, what are we doing to reverse that? Are we playing offense as the body of Christ? And so there's a lot of work to be done. And so it's one day at a time. But, you know, the best is yet to come. But again, there is a lot of work to be done and a lot of people who don't know Christ. So I'm glad to be here and glad to be a part of it.
We're glad to have you on staff and excited about what God is going to do through the giftings he's given you to grow his kingdom and to truly recognize and see that the best is yet to come. If you have any questions for Chris, or maybe, you know, you're in the area and you say, what are life groups? What does that mean to kind of connect and to grow? Feel free to contact him. His email is just chris@journeyashboro.com, and he'll be glad to get in touch with you and help in any way that he can. But I want each person that's listening to this to ask yourself this question. What does Jesus want from me to follow him? You've heard about Chris, how that, you know, through high school, through Young Life, then through App State, how God continued to pursue him and he continued to follow and continue to grow and recognize that true relationship with Jesus, and then was balancing work and ministry, and then God has called him straight into ministry. And it's been a process. It didn't all happen at one time, but it was taking those steps and following Jesus. Jesus never called any of us to stagnancy. He's called every one of us to steps. And so I just want you, wherever you're at, whatever church you go to, that you would be in a church that's going to emphasize the Word of God, that's going to challenge you with truth, and that you will say, Lord, what do you want from me to be involved and to grow? Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it will be what we've done with Jesus that's going to matter. And we want to help you in that process in any way that we can. So feel free to contact us here. Well, we hope you have a great day. This is Truth for Your Journey.